Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited to be here today. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
And allegedly understood. Yeah, allegedly we had Stephen Kalaszewski. Was he here? Allegedly.
Reportedly, he was on. Yes.
We will welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and our radio audience as well. There's so many ways it's unfolding to be able to get the light to you. Don't forget, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I so enjoy listening to the glory of God. You know, everybody has a glory story. Everybody has their journey of God. So many people don't even notice what God's doing in their life while they're envying what somebody else did in someone else's life.
That's right.
And it's like, you know, God's performing miracle after miracle. When I was hearing, you know, Steve, I got a chance to hear the radio yesterday, and just hearing or watching and just hearing him, like, oh, that's amazing. He's what God has done in his life. Mm. And there's more to come. There's way more to come. I got some testimonies I want to share that he forgot about. No, seriously. I think he just didn't have time to share it, but it was just, I'm serious. I mean, this man's hearing the voice of the Lord. I mean, he's saying, repent. No, seriously, just the power of God. I can't wait to hopefully get a chance to share about how God showed him, because he talked about going from sheets to chalk and all that, but he also went to a pencil in a way that what he's writing is reaching the world. Mm. And God spoke to him. He heard the voice of the Lord over this. Mm-hmm. And so the buck stops there. It's all his fault.
That's right.
No pressure. He's a Marine.
That's
Ooh-rah.
Steve's fun.
We're going to be talking. If you haven't seen it yet, it's available to you on our VFNTV.com, on The Torch, and now it's available on our Facebook. You can actually share it with your friends, the 7-year foretold prophecies that was spoken, has come, has continued to be spoken, came again, and is in the presence of unfolding as we speak. That scripture finally makes sense. And you got to go. You can go right to go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook thing there. It carries you right to it, and you can share it with your friends. Listen, God does speak. It's the enemy that's trying to convince folks that God doesn't speak. But God not only speaks, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life, and he's telling us some things we need to be able to do. Mm. And prophecy is not about letting us know that we're going to get in trouble and that's just, there's no way out. The reason why we're forewarned is so we can actually make a decision ahead of time to prevent what's going to take place. And some people just kind of take, you know, just, okay, that's right, you're going to get. And it's like, no, that's what Jonah thought. And Jonah delivered this word. And so he's ready for this terrible thing to happen to Nineveh. But God's desire was to be able to bless Nineveh. And guess what? Nineveh, Even though it was a reluctant prophet and a reluctant evangelist who didn't even like the people group he was preaching to, and he still had like well belly, you know, Alka-Seltzers on him. Anyway, so he gets water by the belly of a well, and he preached the gospel. He preached the message of God, what God said to Nineveh, and the people responded. And that's what we want. Our desire and our hope is to see, you know, the city on the hill once again begin to see, even though. And maybe it took us to get this far dark in our nation, in America, to begin to see the light again. Mm. And even though, no matter what happens to the world, remember that one of the end time prophecies talking about the church, it says that the light of the glory of God is going to be over you. Mm-hmm. And kings are going to come to you. Even if they don't want to come to you, they're going to come to you in the night. Like Nicodemus, like, hey, we won't bring that up. Anyway, so I mean, they want to know what God's saying, and God is speaking. This is, if anything I could say that I feel strongly the Lord is saying to you right now, is that he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He wants to restore all that damage, and he wants to forgive all that rebellion. He wants to be able to bring you back and deliver you from all that religious bondage, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to teach you the simplicity of walking with him, which is loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. It's about a family. It's a family. God wanted a family, so he sowed his son. He gave his son for you. So I want to encourage you. That's, and all these other things are to encourage us to use our free will. And hopefully today we'll be talking about free will. Free will is so important. Sometimes people, they want to take it from you, and many people just don't think they have it or don't utilize it, and they blame all their decisions on other folks. And it's important to understand we have a free will. And so we'll be talking more about that. But I just want to encourage you today. That's what we're here to do, to share the light. Also want to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there. Hey, thanks to you, we're able to keep the light shining across the nation and across the Gulf Coast as well. And if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors. Call them, shout. You could, a lot of our sponsors have things that you can get online. You can just order it from all around the nation, and they'll send it to you. But just let them know how much it means, because they're standing up for God and country in that order, and for Israel. They want to do this. And even our standing partner standing up. It's just exciting. It's exciting to see us all together. Because for so long, people said, you know, nobody's doing nothing. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. They are doing something. Go to VFNTV.com, visit our sponsors, and you can see and partner and become a sponsor yourself. Well, I don't know if you heard about this or not, but they are putting together a celebration. I don't know if you have this ready to go. Celebration on the 4th of July that Rodney Howard Brown.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Rodney, and then Howard. My brain went two different ways. Went from L.A. to Tampa. Anyway, so the with that, you know, we've been talking about a third great awakening. Been really just believing God for it and just speaking out, you know, about a third great awakening. And it was so encouraging. Did we get a chance to even talk about Dutch Sheets? You know, but Dutch Sheets is stepping down from Christ for the Nations. He was leading it for a while there. And the lineage of it, I was pretty surprised. If I would actually have something available for you if I would have done as good a job as Steve's done. But I've been so stacked up. Waiting for that manual stuff. That's what I was waiting for, the manual stuff. We got some great segments from a prophecy that was given from Dutch Sheets talking about a third great awakening. He's got it ready for us to be able to make it available to you on the air. So we will have it soon. And but he stepped down from leading Christ for the Nations because he wants to prepare. He believes we have a window of opportunity for a third great awakening. He says about 2 years is what he's talking about. But we've been speaking it out, you know, and this is what he's talking about. A lot of people get confused because God releases things prophetically first. And so you hear it. And so you start thinking, well, I've been hearing it, but I'm not seeing it. But you first have to hear it before you see it.
That's right.
That's the way it works.
Right.
And so prophets are the ones that begin to speak. And that's just, you could get a business card for it. It's just somebody who's hearing what God is saying They're repeating it, and they have no choice. They're held accountable for not saying it. And they're just, God's letting you know what he wants to do. He talks about it in Amos. He doesn't do anything unless he reveals it to someone he actually shares it with, so they can tell it to others first before he does it. And so you listen to that, which means you can begin to prepare yourself and position yourself and begin to believe God for a third great awakening. And that's just so exciting. And now we're looking at, it looks like Rodney Howard Brown and others are coming together to be able to do what they're calling the celebration of America and a third great awakening. You got to listen to this, because if you go back and you listen, it's like our only hope is a third great awakening, right. Which is, by the way, an awakening is changing the DNA of a nation, of a city. It's not a revival. Mm-hmm. It is like we are no longer what we were anymore. Mm-hmm. We have been fundamentally transformed by the power and the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Okay, take a look at this. You got to see this.
God's not finished with America. I've got good news for you. God's not finished with this land. We see revival spreading across America. We see America shaken by the glory and the power of God. We came here on assignment. We came here because God told me, he said, go to the United States. From the age of 5, when I felt the call of God to the ministry, there was something about America, and I used to talk as a child, said, we're going to the United States. He said, I'm sending you as a missionary to North America. He said, there's been a wave of preaching and teaching, but there's coming a revival of signs and wonders and the lost. And he said, go tell the church to get ready for the coming revival.
for another great awakening, just like there was in the 1700s, just like there was in the 1800s.
The problem is God's been taken out of this nation. There's no respect for human life, no morality. God's been taken out of schools.
We've got to see a change. It is not good what is coming.
Somebody said, how do you know? The same way I knew when God sent us to Madison Square Garden. 30th of July, 1999, 2 years before the planes hit the tower. What would happen if a missile landed in the middle of New York City?
And the same way I stood there and told people, I stand today and say it, it is coming.
Because I know that the time is short. And I know that it's 2 seconds at midnight. We must run now. We must carry the gospel. We must run as never before.
The faith, the devotion, which we bring to this endeavor, will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world.
This is the day and this is the hour. We must hear from heaven, and so now we pray. A new generation is rising up with faith and the anointing to set the captives free and marching through the land to see another great awakening. This is our purpose. This is our goal, igniting a generation for a nation to fulfill its call, America.
Totally. Third Great Awakening. Awesome.
Yes.
I guess Jiminy Great Awakening crickets. Finally,
finally.
It has arrived. We're looking and it's happening. I mean,
yes.
We're one people, one body, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, and one body that's hearing, and hope is rising again, once again. And there's a spiritual army of God that's raising up and saying, you know what? We can believe God for a third great awakening. We can deliver the gospel to this generation, a generation that's crying out for the power of a true God, that's saying, listen, I haven't seen any miracles, any power, anything in my generation. And if you'll just show me that God is real, and he is so, so real. We're going to talk about that right after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are church groups allowed to pass out literature in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am a leader in our Awana program at our local church here. We're wanting to take flyers for like a kickoff carnival that we're wanting to have, which will be held at our church, and it'll be promoting the Awana program, which is a children's program in the church. We're wanting to pass out flyers actually in the schools.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. Let me ask you this. Does the school district allow flyers to be handed out by off-campus organizations?
From what I understand so far, they do.
If they do, then they should not be denying the same rights to the church to distribute the material. And if they're using religion or religious content as a reason for exempting it or for not allowing it to take place, that would be violating a number of Supreme Court decisions. But again, if they allow a material to be distributed, they cannot make an exemption or exception for religious material as long as that material is being distributed in the same manner as the other organizations distribute theirs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember the jury comes in and the judge ordering the court, they open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is a relationship. If you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God,
You don't even have a concept of him. And secondly, you might not even know him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice, which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. How exciting is that, hearing about what's taking place in Washington, D.C. on July the 4th, called the Celebration America D.C. You can go to celebrationamericadc.com or go to vfntv.com. And you can find out more details about it. We are going to be keep you focused, keep you intention, your attention on it, understanding that this is the moment. We can't sit back.
Yeah.
The answer is not a political answer. The answer is, if my people who are called by my name, and if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., understand that's the time we can say, listen, we're going to get all of our neighbors, all of our friends, all of our churches. You're probably going to be able to stream it. If we can stream it, we'll make it available to you on VFN TV. You can catch us on Christian Television Network. But understand, God will respond. He will respond. And this is very, very exciting. This is very exciting in regards to, you know, what the Lord is doing. So, you know, lift up your eyes, realize that God's moving in a powerful, powerful way. But we have to believe God for a third great awakening. We have to, he moves according to our faith.
Yeah.
He moves according to our faith, not according to some agenda or somebody gets a good idea or prints up a brochure or does a mailer out to the entire nation. It's because we believe that God can and God will, and we know this is what happens. And what happens is, you think about the university in the 70s.
Asbury
College. It's repentance, just acknowledgement that we've sinned. And you think about Brownsville revival. That was every single night was about repentance, about, you know, the Lord died for you. You need to deal with your sin at the cross. You need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And then God responds. I mean, every single night was
Joel
about...
Joel chapter 1, right? Protocol. Yeah. You got to repent. Yeah. Turn to God.
Well, chapter 1. Everybody talks about chapter 2.
That's right.
Did you ever get a chance to talk about chapter 1?
Yeah, you did. A little bit, briefly. But that's
one's important. Read the context of Joel, because we talk about Joel. Even in Acts chapter 2, we talk about Joel.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, that we're supposed to repent and be baptized. And then the fulfillment of Acts chapter 2 begins to happen. Well, you know, you think about this. He made this statement, the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. He said, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Mm. I mean, think about that. How many people, you know, God's just speaking continuously, and you got to remind them of what God said. And it's like, come on, I'm believing God for what he said to me. Why do I have to remind you about what God said to you? And Paul says, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. That's so important, because God's just looking for someone that believes him.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody that's not shaken by the circumstances of life, or shaken by, I mean, you know, just, we talk about this before, but, you know, think about it. You know, David's talking about kings are conspiring against you, God. The leaders of Israel are meeting together against you, God. And it's like, and you just laugh at them. You just, really, you're going to do this. But the people who say they have faith in God are intimidated by men who conspire against God. It's like, they're not going to win. Mm. But they may win you if you have fear, thinking that they can succeed and push over God's hand. Understand this. In the midst of all the turmoil that was going on, Paul made that declaration in Acts chapter 27, verse 25. And it wasn't like he wasn't in the palace somewhere, kicked back and relaxed. I mean, he was actually on a ship, in a storm, in chains, as a prisoner held under false pretenses, going to see the emperor, going to see Caesar. And believe me, they did not have air conditioning in ships those days. You can imagine how they were treated. And God spoke to him, and this is what he told him. He says, listen, you know, the storm's going to come, and this dude ain't listening to me. He's driving the boat. They want to keep going. And so, but understand this, that if you stay on the boat, if you stay with the vision, if you stay in the ark, if you stay faithfully in what God said, he said, nobody's going to be lost. Nobody's going to be lost. And what they did was, originally, when the storm got really bad, they started pulling the lifeboat into the ship because they say, we're about to lose the lifeboat. Mm-hmm. And how many people right now, I mean, you got like 15 lifeboats, you know what I'm saying? You're pulling it in, you got your 40 beans stored up, you got your water stored up, you got your, well, I'm not going to talk about, you know, any kind of ammunition I'm hearing some people doing. But understand, it's like, what are you doing? What happened to your faith in God and your trust in God? Are you pulling, they pulled the lifeboats in, and finally, you know, they started to get in the lifeboat at one point. And Paul said, listen, you got to stay with the boat. If you hold fast to what God said, then what God said is going to come to pass. He said, I have faith in God that it will happen just like God told me it would happen. And it's like, it ain't changing. The plan ain't changing. I'm keeping my faith in God. I don't know about you. You know what I'm saying? Hey. I know what God said, and I know he's done so much already. But why not have faith in the God of the universe who holds everything together, who gave his son for you that you might be in his relationship with him, that your sins might be forgiven? Why not get into the word of God, the Bible, bust out that 81 percentile statistics that says Christians don't even pick it up, and begin to read it and find out what God's promises are and what he tells you. And then you can say, you know what? I believe, I have faith in God that it will happen just like he told me it would. I mean, think about it. And you understand that God wants to speak to you now. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. There'll be a day that you hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live. Understand that. If you hadn't heard his voice yet, you need to hear his voice. It's eternally important for you to hear the voice of God. Not the voice of man, but the voice of God. God loves you individually, distinctly, and he's going to hold you personally accountable in your life. And that's why you need the cross in your life. That's why you need Jesus in your life. And I just want to share a couple of things about that, just understanding in this little bit of time we have left. You know, God has just spoken to me again and again and again. I remember when I was late in my office one particular night, and I was watching this streaming revival coming out of South Africa. And I heard this pronounced at this particular meeting, and they're talking about John G. Lake and all the things that had happened. And one statement that was made there, and this is John G. Lake statement, I believe. He says, have faith in what you see, declare what you see, and nothing will be impossible for you. When you can have faith in what you're seeing in your dreams and your visions, and you declare what you see, nothing will be impossible for you. John G. Lake started 5,000 churches, disease would die in his hand. Remnants of his ministry is still all over the place. Christ for the Nation is a remnant. All these different things are a spiritual son started. Christ for the Nation. I mean, it's just amazing what's taking place in the context of that. But I heard that, and then so I went to sleep. It was so late, I went to sleep. And all of a sudden, the Lord woke me up and brought me back into my office around 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was just stirring my spirit. And so I went back, I got to write that thing down. That was powerful, man. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and this looping that was looping at that point, this particular stream was looping, and at the very time God woke me up, it was the very moment as I put my pencil to the paper, and all of a sudden I heard the words, have faith in what you see, and declare what you see, and nothing will be impossible for you. When you can have faith in what you are seeing in your dreams, what God is showing you, in your dreams and your visions, you can declare what you see and nothing will be impossible for you. Mm. So I just want to tell you real quickly some things that I believe that it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen. We are going to go through some very difficult times, but God is going to bring us through it. It's going to be the greatest days the church has ever seen. This is going to be the greatest harvest the church has ever seen. It's not going to be because of your great preaching. It's because God prepared their hearts to come in. You need to get prepared for the harvest that's coming. There will be stadiums filled with those that are crying out and waiting on God, wanting to hear the Lord, waiting for the next man or woman of God to be able to share what's on their heart. There will be apostolic hubs and outposts established throughout the world, including the nation of America, and they'll be key to releasing this message of the kingdom of God and its government to the next generation. The greatest outpouring the world has ever seen is going to come to pass. And power, the fear of the Lord is going to be so present amongst the church, the world, who once didn't, are going to begin to fear coming amongst the number of the church again. And this false and the true, the false and the true is going to become so distinctively different that the church, believers, are going to easily tell the difference in great things, great harvest, great power, great holiness, and a major difference between the church and the world is coming, but with it, persecution. Prepare yourself. The Lord, raise your faith. Be like Paul and don't be shaken because your ship is being shaken. Don't be shaken because your nation's being shaken. Get bold. Cry out for boldness and say, dear God, I believe what you said is true and it's going to be coming to pass. I agree with you, God. Let it be to me according to your word.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Join me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, if you missed our earlier programs, you gotta get it. And mm-hmm. you can see it, VFNTV.com, all the different ways you can see it. But God is beginning to stir the hearts of his people across the nation for a third great awakening. And if you've been with us for our whole journey, you've been hearing us just cry out, dear God, mm-hmm. you know, third great awakening. And you can find out much more about that at VFNTV.com. And if you haven't yet, download our app. It's an app that goes on all of your different mobile devices, but everything we do is available to you no matter where you are. And that's available free of charge. We have that available for all of our viewers mm-hmm. and listeners that are out there. We're going to be talking about today some specific things that have been happening into the news. I mean, you've probably been hearing about Warren Buffett, this guy who supposedly is, you know, this big investor and all that. But the reports are right now, Fox News is reporting that this man gave $1.2 billion to an abortion group.
Yeah.
$1.2 billion to an abortion group, which is equivalent, they're saying, to 2.7 million first trimester abortions. In other words, he just did, based on what they're saying, equivalent to one half of the Holocaust in regards to how many Jews were killed in the Holocaust.
Oh, my goodness.
2.7 million. Mm. That'd be 6 million.
Yeah.
He just wrote a check for that.
Wow.
As if the plan B pill wasn't enough. Let's go ahead and it's like, what's going on? You know, what's happening? And there's 7+ billion people on the face of the earth. And some of the things the Lord has shown me that, the devil is not satisfied with abortion. He wants to take more life. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't want this. But understand, if God pulls his hand back, death can happen. I mean, you think about that one tsunami that took place in the Indian Ocean. So we'll be talking more about, what is this $1.2 billion gift to an abortion group that Fox News is reporting about. And we need to be able to pay attention to that. And I really sense this, when every time God begins to do something powerfully, it's like the devil knows it, and he cranks up his evilness a notch. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Moses was born. The deliverer was born. I mean, he can't even eat solid foods yet. And they were after him. They wanted to kill every child to make sure they got that one. And the question is this. How many deliverers are in this generation that the enemy is trying to get to them? Right? I mean, he tried to get to Moses. All those children died because he wanted to get to Moses. Pharaoh wanted to get to Moses, right?
Right.
And he didn't get to him because God's in control, dude. Anyway, so they put Moses in an ark and put him up the Nile, the river. And then of all the things to happen, the very one who wanted to kill Moses raised Moses. I mean, you think about it. Yeah. I mean, he's trying to kill every child out there to make sure he got Moses. And leave it to a teenage daughter. She's going to bring home the baby. He brings home Moses, this child, right? Think about it. Is that not, this is how in control God is. You think the enemy is going to win. God's going to use the enemy to raise the deliverer up. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. And so this is horrific what's taking place. This murdering of the children and just genocide taking place across the land. It is horrific. But I want to encourage you in the context of it, that God's plan's not being thwarted. The plans of God, God has a plan, and he's unfolding it minute by minute, day by day. And so here's Pharaoh wanting to kill every single child out there, trying to get, 2 years old and under maybe it was, and to destroy a potential deliverer out there. And didn't do it. As a matter of fact, God had him raise Moses. And eventually Moses, once he got to a certain point, he realized, I don't belong here. I'm not part of this family. I sure hope I was adopted. and he just couldn't live there. I mean, all of us, because who he was, God created him in such a way that who he was, he just didn't fit there. And you're probably thinking quite often, because everybody's going to tell you, you belong there, but you don't fit. And thank God he went with what was inside of him, because he just started, exercising that. And his first attempt's okay, granted. There was a couple funerals, but, he had to bury his work in the sand and run for his life. But God was raising him up to be a deliverer. He was a friend of God. This man who was boy, this child who was raised by the enemy of God is a friend of God. Think about that, because this is a person that God talked with face to face. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
That's just powerful. And this is the one, Charlton Heston is not Moses, but if you look at that movie, you realize this is God speaking to. Think of it. It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, but he first was a child that everything was against. As a matter of fact, everybody around him died. Quite often some people say, well, you must not have a call on your life because people around you suffer tragedy. And Moses, if he could talk at the point, probably saying, they're just trying to get to me. I got a call on my life. Mm-hmm. And God's not going to let them get to me. And if you're hanging out with people who call in their life, you better get right with God.
Right.
Open doors, right. Empty houses, right?
That's right.
And so here he is. You know, so the enemy of God who tried to kill God's deliverer ended up raising God's deliverer, Moses, in his own household. Moses didn't belong there, but he was raised there. And eventually he left there and became what God wanted him to become, to the point that, man, he was used by God to come back to the very one who raised him up and say, you know, you're going to have to let God's people go. You're just going to have to let them go. I mean, think about that. Can you imagine the feelings? Like, I raised you. I put food on your table. You know, I, you know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But if your real truth is like, no, you actually tried to kill me, but you couldn't do it. And God showed himself off and said, okay, I'm going to have you raise him now. Since you couldn't kill the deliverer, I'm going to have you raise him. Woo, that excites me. That excites you. But think about it. You know, you're thinking that couldn't be working out because those people hate God, but that child and that family could be the deliverer of the next generation. And you think about this. I mean, so what happened was when this deliverer was being birthed into the world, the enemy kicked in, second heaven, darkness, Satan kicked in through folks and began to try to destroy the deliverer. And you can think, this is terrible. All this abortion, all this death and everything. You're right. It is horrific. But it means deliverance is on its way. Mm. It means Satan knows his days are numbered. And it makes me think of this. I remember reading about when Jesus was born and the Magi's coming in. And they're hearing from God, and they know they're following the star, and they're going to where this Jesus is, and they stop and they talk to, which king is that? King Herod. And Herod goes, oh my goodness, I got to let them think that I'm really into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let me know when you find out where he is, come back and tell me so I can worship him.
Yeah.
Let's just come to pray together. You know, can I pray with one eye open?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he said, I want to go worship him. Of course, God knew his heart. And so what happened was they found him and they found Jesus and they laid down the frankincense, gold, and myrrh and all that. But God spoke to them right there. They said, listen, don't go back to Herod. Go back a different way. And when Herod found this out, that it truly a deliverer has been born, he went around just like they did in the days of Moses. And they're going to try to kill every boy, child, 2 years old and under, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there was just great death everywhere. There was just an increase of tragedy and bloodshed, innocent bloodshed, aborted babies everywhere. Just, what's he trying to do? Understand this. It's horrific. But what he was trying to do was stop the salvation of mankind. What Satan was trying to do was stop the deliverance of God's people. He was trying to stop your salvation. But just like in the days of Moses, when the enemy raised, think about it, that Jesus didn't get touched because he's the son of God. He listened. Mary and Joseph listened to God. They went to different places knowing, you know, where to go, and he would tell them, they're after you. And by following the voice of God, and that's why you've got to hear the voice of God, because even Jesus's parents had to follow the voice of God to make sure Jesus didn't get killed. And you're acting like you don't have to hear God's voice.
Come on.
You make it up your own plans and stuff. It's like, that's why it's going on. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so here it was. Great things was on the precipice. Everything's about to happen. But back up and take a look at it. There's blood everywhere. There's funeral after funeral after funeral of innocent children. I mean, your two-year-old child. This is before they're a teenager and you don't have any negative feelings. I mean, you're really feeling all this great emotion towards your, you love your kid. Mm-hmm. Come on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bam. And so everybody's just, Rachel's crying out, like he says, but she can't be comforted. Jacob is just crying. The pain is, oh my goodness. But you know what? They didn't kill Jesus as a child. They didn't get to why. So look, it was terrible what was going on. Listen, what I was telling you about that is because Warren Buffett just wrote a check, according to Fox News, for $1.2 billion to be able to kill children. According to Fox News, to give it to an abortion group. And the reports are that with this $1.2 billion, he donated more than $1.2 billion to abortion organizations from 2001 to 2012 was when he did it. And that equals, he's paid for approximately 2.7 million first trimester killings of children. But the truth is what? 50 plus million children have been knowingly aborted since 1973. I mean, we got some great news we're going to tell to you about that. There has been a curse on the land since 1973.
Right.
And that 40-year curse was broken in January of 2013. I can't wait to be able to share that with you, which it was a curse where there's no signs, wonders, or miracles. But they're being loose, and it's about to happen in a big way, and we're going to be talking to you more about that in the coming programs. But understand that this is what this means, that our deliverance is soon to come. But the problem is we got to be able to look through all the pain and the agony and the destruction and not get so darkened and so depressed and so feeling hopeless that we miss, like many of the Jews miss, that the deliverer was going to be walking down the streets in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even going to recognize him. And they weren't going to understand that if you would have paid attention during all that bloodshed, you got so distracted by all the bloodshed and all the twisted politics of King Herod, who was eaten by worms because he took credit for everything, that you missed the point. At that time, the Son of God was born. And for 30 years, from the time he was born to that day, he was going to begin to walk on the streets of Jerusalem. God is. And you're going to be able to see him. John the Baptist is going to recognize him, identify him, and baptize him. And God is going to be made known through his Son. But you can miss it. You can get so caught up in the tragedies and all these different things instead of saying, you know what? God's doing something, and the devil knows it, and that's why he's cranking up the evilness and the darkness and death of potential deliverers. But God's not going to let his plans be thwarted. All the strength of man cannot, all the wisdom of man cannot stop the plans of God. Understand that this is evil, but look through the evil. Keep your faith and realize, dear God, where's Moses? You know, where is Jesus in this? What are you about to do, God? I'm ready. I know a deliverer is coming for this generation. And right now, it's void of leadership in the world. There's a huge void of leadership, Chuck Pierce says, out of Zion Ministries, out of Corinth, Texas. And that's why the world is that way, because the church is that way. But I believe good, godly leadership is about to raise up, and deliverers are going to raise up and be able to bring God's folks into this next generation and deliver the truth of God. This next generation with the power of God manifesting, which confirms the presence of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right.
you know.
Get on the right side.
Get on the right side. And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that. That, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
sure he thought. Right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him, that if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, "Organize me."
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, man. I got so excited about just seeing, understanding, even though in the midst of great tragedy, realize God has a plan. We've got to hear what God is doing and understand this, that it doesn't all of a sudden just go, okay, here's a full plan. He begins to speak about it way before it's released to be able to get our faith locked into it because we have a free will. Every man has a free will. A free will is so important to understand because, you know, in it, I mean, you think about it. Just think about it. Free will means God's not going to make you do anything. You're going to have to intentionally choose to do something. I mean, just think about it. It's just so important because so many people are blaming their life on other folks. They're just blaming their life, you know, on other folks and how things turned out or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, but this is the way it works. And it's really, if you watch, just watch, back up a little bit and quit listening to all the false narratives out there, and, you know, and just ask yourself this question, you know, isn't it interesting? Even evil folks, good folks, everybody has to get enough people to buy into what they're saying. You have to get the buy-in. And what that really means is they have to convince enough people to utilize their free will to make a choice to say, this is the way we're going to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, men have free will. God doesn't force us, and Satan can't even push us. He can only deceive us to get us to buy in. And think about it. If he could just force you to do it, you would just do it. But he has to actually get you to exercise your free will to choose to destroy yourself.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
There's much deception right now being promulgated today. I mean, just much of it. And all for the purpose of deceiving a majority of people, or at least enough people, to buy into evil, to buy into good, to buy into do wrong. You can't sit back and say, life's just happening to me. You can't just say that because God's given you a free will, and you can't say, oh, well, that's just beyond their control or whatever. No, they have a free will, and they chose that in their life. Life's full of choices. Hmm. I mean, think about it. The laws that are being passed today by somebody choosing to pass a bill and ask their congressman or woman to be able to pass a bill, they make it a law. Those are a whole bunch of choices that everybody exercised their free will. For example, one politician would say, you know, I don't care what my constituents say. I'm just going to use my free will, and I'm going to go with this because I'll benefit off it, maybe financially or something. Or someone else will say, you know, I'm going to exercise my free will to operate my office the way constitutionally it's supposed to be, and I will operate in the context of the majority of my constituents. But that all of that's free will. Mm. You were free will when you voted for him or her. It's free will for them to be able to go. That's why you sit here and you talk to somebody today, and you vote for them, for example, but then they go to Congress, go to Washington, D.C., and they change their will. They go there and they say, you know, I bought into the new vision they have for me. I need to play ball or something, they say. Or you think about this, Supreme Court decisions. I mean, we think collectively too much. You have to understand, God's not going to collectively judge us. He's going to individually judge us one by one. That is an enemy lie to you to think that this is a collective thing. Collectivism is more so what the devil tries to get everybody convinced to do, and you just got to go with the crowd. But the Supreme Court judges, the individually, they alone exercise their free will, whether being, you know, threatened by someone or not, I don't know. But the, at the end, everybody has to wait and find out what the free will of that judge is going to be. I mean, you have 12 jury members. You know, everybody's leaning forward, finding out how are they going to exercise their free will against this potential defendant over here who has a free will, who maybe chose his free will or her free will to commit a crime or maybe didn't. Then you have a judge that's going to exercise their free will based on how they're going to respond to things. And then you have media who's looking at this trial, and they're going to exercise their free will and how they report. I mean, that all of that, everybody has an individual free will to be able to respond to what's going on. Think about this. Pastors preach messages of truth in hopes that their congregation will use their free will individually, because every one of them has to make an individual decision, even a couple and a family. I mean, you may have a son who chooses to follow God and exercise their free will, but the rest of the family doesn't. So everyone in there, he's preaching the truth in hopes that these folks will exercise their free will to be able to follow God. And marriages, think about marriages. I mean, you can have a marriage where you, yourself, your spouse, you know, you're living your life for God. You used your free will to say, you know what, I'm going to follow God, have a godly marriage. But your other spouse, whoever that is, him or her, that they have a free will. You cannot force them. You know, you're not forcing them. You can't force. They have to choose. What are they going to do with their free will? You can't blame your difficult marriage on your spouse. You got to say, you know what? What am I doing with my free will? What am I doing in exercising that? Think about Adam and Eve. I mean, here God created the earth and created man and put them in a garden and said, you have total rule over all these different things. And he says, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he did not fence it off. He didn't cuff their hands. He didn't control them. He just sat back and saw, how are you going to exercise your free will? That's what he did. And they exercised their free will to do what God said don't do. God is not controlling you. God is sending messengers to you saying, how I long to gather you under my wings, like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you weren't willing. He's talking about the will. We have a will. God's waiting for you to say, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will make you the Lord of my life. And think about this. God himself gave his son, Jesus Christ, to walk a sinless life, to die on a cross, to pay the price for all men's sins. But he's still waiting to see what choice you're going to make. I mean, think about that. Are you going to choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You can't hang around Christians and be one. You can't show up at some building they call the church when you yourself are supposed to be the church. You got to actually make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Life is full of choices. You know, the narrative or the statement or the slogan, you know, pro-life is pro-choice has been stolen, you know, by so many folks out there. Because when you see pro-choice, people think that means you can kill your child or not kill your child. But the truth is, God is pro-choice. He's waiting to see what choice you're going to make. I mean, he sends prophets. He has signs in the heavens and signs in the moon and prophetic words and dreams and visions. And why is all that? He's trying to influence you in the context of your free will. Will you exercise your free will and make me the Lord of your life? And then will you walk with me on a day-to-day basis and let me make my manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm through you? He's waiting for the church in the world and the church in America to say, you know what? What choice are you going to make? I gave you a free will. It's not a political party. It's not a denomination. It's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in the fullness of what he said. Think about it. Just like the Garden of Eden, where God is sitting back and seeing what decision that they're going to make. Are they going to continue to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or are they going to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to eat from the tree of life. I'm going to eat of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to eat his word. I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. That's my choice from here on out. I'm all yours, and I'll do what you want me to do, because I chose to make you the Lord of my life. And it's an everyday choice. Every day you use your will to steer it in the direction of God. Where are you going to use your free will? Find out where you can meet Jesus Christ, meet the Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe that's your choice today. Go to meetmyfather.org.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, uh-huh. and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures, and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about
one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio. There might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.